I ask you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. This was a passage that Brother Buck used at Rhema a few weeks ago. And I don't know about you all, but sometimes when I'm sitting there and I'm reading a passage of Scripture, my mind starts going different places. And I always say that's okay if that's the Lord taking you in those places to look ahead farther down or to think about what's going on or how that is speaking to you at that moment. And as he was did a beautiful message that night, my mind was going to where I want to go today, and that is concerning these places that have been prepared for us by the Lord Himself. Now, the setting of this is the night that Jesus was betrayed. They're in the upper room. He's already bowed and washed the feet of all of His disciples, including Judas. He washed all of their feet, and then He sat down, and He began to teach them. And I don't know how long that it took for Him to be able to share all of these things that are written here by John. To read chapters 13 through 17 probably takes maybe 15 minutes, if that long. So I don't know how long He spoke to them. But He said some things that touched their lives and changed their lives drastically that night before that they ever went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so I just want to begin by reading John chapter 14, the first three verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we bow before You this morning and just thank You for the privilege to be in Your house. And thank You, Father, for the words of that last song that we sang, that You, our Shepherd, Jesus Christ, supplies our every need. And even in the midst of the enemies of life that we struggle against and face each day, that You have a table prepared that we can sit and we can partake of that delicious meal of spiritual blessings that You have prepared for us, and to understand, Lord, that as we sit at that table, that we're not there as a guest. We're there as Your child. So we thank You, Lord. And I ask for Your grace this morning that I might speak Your word in spirit and in truth, and honoring You and edifying each of us as we think about these blessings that You have prepared for us as we go through this life. Lord, I ask that everything that I say would be in accordance to Your word and honoring to You. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to present this in two different ways. I admit to you that more times than not, this passage of Scripture is used at funerals. And a lot of times at graveside, but sometimes in the funeral service itself, that these passages are used in such a way, and it brings assurance, it brings peace. It brings honor to the Lord to think that there is a place that is prepared for us, a place that for all eternity we're going to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's commonly understood that this place that Jesus is talking about is heaven. Now, that's just one application that I'm giving to you this morning. But I don't want to overlook that, because I do believe that that place is prepared. I want to say, and I do believe, that that place was prepared even before the foundation of the world. That when God created the heaven and the earth, that place was prepared. When before the foundation of the world, He looked down through time and chose His people, that He already had a place prepared for them. You can look at the natural rotation of how that God created this universe. And before He created one thing, He already had something in place to support that. He didn't create fish before He created water. That's just a simple illustration, isn't it? But that's how detailed our God is, that by the time when he creates one thing, He's already got something in place to support it. So I believe that when He gave us to Christ before the foundation of the world, and that covenant was entered, that Jesus said, I will go in the fullness of time and I'll lay down my life for them, that God already had a place for us. And that place at that point was occupied by angels that were constantly and still are constantly crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So when He said, I'm going to my Father's house, that application, I don't want to overlook that. I don't want to overlook that he was going back home. And where did He come from? Heaven. He left heaven's glory to come to this earth to do the work of redemption. And once He accomplished that, he went back home. Go down to verse 27 with me. And I'm going to come back to verse 27 in a few moments. But just to get our minds set on what I'm trying to say concerning this. Verse 27, that same chapter, John 14. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart, there he's saying it again, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. And when you follow that all the way through, the actions and thoughts and words of the disciples, they picked up on, I'm going away. When Jesus before that had said, we're going to Jerusalem, and when we get there, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're going to kill me. They're going to put me on a cross, and I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to die on the cross, and they're going to put me in a tomb, and after 3 days, 3 nights, I'm going to come out again. They picked up on they're going to kill me and they're going to put me in a tomb. But it was only after His resurrection that then they remembered, oh yeah, He said, I'm going to raise again. You know, sometimes we tend to take hold of the bad and hold to that and forget there's something good that's following. So he told them again, I'm going away. I'm going away. But don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. Why would He tell them that? For 3.5 years in bodily form, they followed Jesus day in and day out. They followed Him, they heard Him, they saw the work that He did. They saw how that He dealt with those that were the poorest of the poor, and how He dealt with those that were the richest of the rich, and how that He brought them together on level ground as He dealt with them through His grace and His mercy and whatever was needed at that moment for that individual. So He said, don't let your heart be troubled. You heard me say I'm going away. And that had to sting them deeply inside, that this one that they trusted says, I'm leaving. And before that, in chapter 13, Peter said, basically, I want to go too. If you're going, I'm going. There was a particular church that when I announced to them that I would be leaving, one of the older gentlemen in the congregation came up to me and said, well, I'm packing my suitcase too. If you're leaving, I'm leaving with you. But these men, they had depended upon Jesus for everything. And all of a sudden He says, I'm leaving. I'm going home. But don't let your heart be troubled. And we're going to see why He said that in just a moment. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You heard how I said to you, I go away and come again unto you. Notice these next words that He said. If you loved me, you would rejoice. How can I rejoice? You just said, you're leaving me. How can I rejoice over that? And He tells them, you should rejoice over me because I said I go to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass that when it comes to pass, you might believe. That you'll understand that what I've told you is exactly the way that it is. And you know, that is so important for us even today, that we understand that when we read God's Word and we read the promises that are contained therein, and we see the things that God has said, that Christ has said, that His prophets were said through His inspiration, that we understand that those promises are sure and steadfast, and we can hold to them no matter what is going on in our lives. We can hold to the Word of God. And He said, I'm telling you these things now so that when it happens... He didn't tell them when, but it was going to be that very night, wasn't it? And the next day that He was hung on the cross. He said, but that when it happens, you'll remember that I told you these things. And that is, I'm going away. But where I'm going is, I'm going to the Father's house. I'm going home. Have you ever been off somewhere and gotten homesick? That's one of the worst sicknesses that there is, isn't it? I mean, it just hits you so hard in so many different ways. But then when you get back home, you finally get home, what joy and rejoicing there is. And Jesus was saying to them, that's where I'm going. And if you love me, you'd rejoice with me. Because I've already told you, I'm coming back to get you. But right now, I'm going home. So be happy for me. I know I'm putting that in human terms, okay? But be happy for me. I'm going back to see my Father. I've had a lot of talks with Him while I was gone. But I'm ready to see Him face to face again. I'm ready to see Him exactly as He is. And that was the approach that Jesus took when He had His disciples there together. Paul was blessed to have that great truth revealed to him. And on at least three different occasions, Paul wrote about this eternal homegoing. We always go to 1 Corinthians 15, the last from verse 51 through 58, I think it is. And I always use that at graveside. Or 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, I use that at graveside. And it's because it is a promise that God has made that affirms what Jesus said there. And that is, I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to get you. But also in Philippians chapter 3, He said this, our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. That's why throughout the Scriptures it say we're strangers in this world. We're pilgrims in this world. The old gospel song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But sometimes we get so caught up to think that this world is all that there is when it's nothing. It's temporary at best. And Paul says, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior. We still today are looking for Him. Peter talked about that. And Peter addressed the fact that there are those that are scoffers that would say, yeah, He said He's coming, but look, it's been 2,000 years. Where is He? Why isn't He here if He said He was coming back? And that's when Peter quoted the passage of Scripture that says, but one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. In other words, if you look at it through God's time schedule, it's been 2 days. It's been 2 days since Jesus went home. So He's telling them, be happy for me. And He says, I have some places prepared for you. And again, I don't in any way discount the truth that we have a home reserved in heaven. It's got your name on it and nobody else can occupy it. Nobody else can take your place. And you won't take anybody else's place. It's occupied, it's reserved, and it will be there for us when we get there. Okay, that's settled, okay? Our eternity is settled. But I want to talk to you today about these prepared places as I see them. Because I think it goes even farther than... If heaven was all that there was, it'd be more than we could ever deserve or ever hope for. But I want to talk to you about some places that I think that Jesus has prepared for every one of us as we go through this life. Do you ever get to a place where you think, I need a break. I just need a place where I can just sit down and breathe. Have you ever been there? Have you been so overwhelmed with things that come at you? Things that just weigh heavy upon you? And it's like it's just smothering you. I just need a little break. Can I tell you that Jesus has prepared some places that are breaks for you as you go through this life? Some places that Paul described them as in Ephesians chapter 2, that great chapter on grace that he tells us about. He says that we were raised up together with Christ and made to sit in heavenly places with Him. And I'm going to share some of those heavenly places as I see it, that Jesus shared that night. Everything that I say from here on out will be in chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17 of John. The first place that I think that He has prepared for us, I'm going to call it a place of learning. A place of learning. Everything that you know about Jesus, how did you get it? You learned it, didn't you? It's not in the natural makeup of mankind, but we learned it by... Go with me to John chapter 14 and verse 26. Now later on in this same discourse that He's given, He'll say, it's expedient for Me that I go away, for if I go not away, the Father won't send the Comforter. So here He's going to tell us what the Comforter is. Verse 26, He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How is it that when we're in a place where that we need a little boost, we need a little lifting up, we need a little encouragement, we need a little correction, whatever it might be, how is it that comes to us? Have you ever been in a spot where that you didn't know what to do? You didn't know which way to turn. You didn't even know what to think about it. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a verse of Scripture comes to your mind. And you say, that's the answer. Has that ever happened to you? That all of a sudden, that verse comes and you can just feel yourself calming down. And there's that place you can breathe. There's that break that you need. Sometimes it's through a song. Sometimes it's through something that somebody else says to us. But when it strikes the heart and it does that which God intends it, you can rest assured it's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. This one would be number 7. I've already told you, I know all the illustrations I know I've shared somewhere before. But there was a point in my life that I was ready to throw up my hands and say, I quit, and walk away from everything. And I'll never forget. I was reading electric meters for the Lenore City Utilities Board at the time. And I can take you to the very house that as I got out of the truck to go read that electric meter, all of a sudden these words came into my heart and my mind. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be not afraid, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord will fight for you. And I thought, where did that come from? Where did those words come from? It sounded biblical to me, but I didn't know where to find them. So I went home that night, and it was about the time I had first begun. Well, it was at the time I first begun. It was, and I knew that the Lord had put a call to preach upon me. And I was fighting it. And it was being fought around about me. And Daddy had just given me a brand new Strong's Concordance. And I was able to remember those words, and I went home and I looked up those words, fear not. And I found that those very words were spoken when Israel had come out of Egypt. And God brought them to the Red Sea. And there was no way out. There was no way out for them. cliffs on both sides, Egyptian army behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. What were they going to do? Well, they started murmuring and complaining. That's what I was doing. You brought us out here to die? We could have died back in Egypt. At least we'd have had some onions and leeks and melons to eat. And suddenly, the Lord spoke through Moses those very words. Fear not. Stand still. In other words, hush and listen to me. This battle's not yours. It's not yours to fight. I'm going to fight it for you. I'm going to give you the deliverance. And then he told Moses, see that staff in your hand? The same one that he had told Moses to throw down and it became a serpent. He said, pick it back up and it returned to the staff. He said, hold that staff out over the sea. I wonder what was going through Moses' mind at that moment. We're not told. But you know what he did? He held the staff out over the sea just like God told him to do. And what happened? The waters parted. The east wind blew. The land dried up. And they walked across on dry land. What was God telling them when he said, just stand still and be quiet? Well, my daddy's told me that many times. Just stand still and be quiet and listen to me. God said, I am the way. And they went across on dry land. Now, what was it that brought that to my remembrance that day? I haven't forgotten where I was going with this, I promise you. What was it that brought that to my remembrance that day? I tell you, it was the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. Then don't you dare turn around and run away. You can't run far enough anyway. But don't you dare try to run away from me. I'll hunt you down wherever you are, and I'll bring you back where you're supposed to be. Do not. Stand still. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost will bring that to your remembrance just when you need to hear it. And there's been other times, and I know every one of us, you've had times like that, when suddenly a passage or a portion of a passage would come to your mind and you say, that's the answer. That's what I was looking for. Jesus said, I'm going away, but the Father's going to send another Comforter, and He'll be with you wherever you go, and He'll speak the words that you need to hear. So the first place that Jesus prepared for us was a place of learning. Now, life is already, he's taking care of that on the cross. But these places that you and I get to enjoy today is that place where He brings it to our remembrance, all that He has said. The second place, and I'll try to go quickly, I've got a total of 7 I want to share with you, and I won't spend as much time as I did that first one, I don't think. But the second place is a place of peace. I've already read it, verse 27, the very next verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Now, when he was born, remember the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I tried to preach about that around Christmas time. I don't personally believe that there will ever be complete peace on this earth. As long as there's 2 human beings that are around, there's not going to be outward peace. So what peace is Jesus talking about? What peace were the angels speaking about? I go back to that situation. You're in it. And all of a sudden, that passage comes to your mind. Something comes to your mind. Someone says something to you. Or you hear a song. You remember a portion of Scripture. And suddenly, nothing else has changed out here. But what changes is inside. There is a peace, and Paul says it's a peace that passes all understanding. You can even put it in words. But it's keeping your heart, and it's keeping your mind. And Jesus said, that's my peace. I've given that to you. When you experience that, when I experience that, I need to fall to my knees and say, thank you, Lord, because I couldn't have done that on my own. He says, I'm not giving you peace like the world would give you. The world thinks that peace comes from an outward source. You buy this, you do that, you go here, you do this, you'll find peace. It don't work that way. You can have all of these things and not have peace, and you don't have anything. But if you have peace of heart and peace of mind, which only comes from Jesus Christ, there's a gospel song that says, a little is much when God is in it. There's that peace. And Jesus said, it's my peace and I'm giving it to you. What a precious gift it is when you can experience that peace, that the world is crashing down around you, but there's that peace inside that says, it's okay. It's okay because my Lord is with me and I have His peace and I have His Word. The third place is a place of fellowship. And that's in chapter 15 in verse 5. If Judy's sitting there, she'd be smiling when I read the first part of this, because back in 1987, the first year we went to camp, and every camper had to memorize a verse of Scripture. And Sarah was 4 years old, and the Scripture that she had to memorize, or that she did memorize, was, I am the vine, you are the branches. And every time that she quoted that for years after that, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. Now, isn't that fellowship? Jesus said, I've prepared that place for you. Yes, I'm going away. I'm going back to the Father's house, but I'm sending the Comforter. He's sending the Comforter. And that Comforter will bring you into that relationship of fellowship where that you can know without a doubt that Jesus is with you. That He's walking with you side by side. And when you feel like you can't take another step, He reaches down and lifts you up and carries you through. That's a place that Jesus prepared for us that gives us that break. It gives us that time to be able to breathe, just to know Jesus is there. The fourth place is a place of love. And the only reason I'm doing this as number four is because that's the order in which Jesus went with it. A place of love. Go down in chapter 15 to verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Remember back in chapter 13, Jesus said, by this one thing, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Do you remember what it was? That you love one another. That's the identifying factor for every child of God, is that we have love. We have love. And He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Ooh, it's getting a little bit harder now, isn't it? Because we all know how Jesus loves us. He loves us so much that He went to the cross. He laid down His life. He died taking our sins from us and paying the debt in full for our sins. He said, that's my commandment, that you love one another. And then He expands on that to say, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Does that mean that we have to die for one another? Well, it could. But I think ultimately what it means is that if I love you, I'm going to put your needs even before my own. I'm going to put your care before my own. I'm going to do for you before I do for myself. I'm laying down myself to present myself to you. And the same way with one another. That we lay down our lives one for another. That we give of ourselves and give free. Can you remember what? I think it's in 1 Corinthians. It says, God loves a cheerful giver. There's something about giving. And quite honestly, when we come to Mother's Day, you'll probably hear some more about that if the Lord keeps it on my heart. But true love is giving. It's giving. It's giving. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The fifth place is a place of joy. God has prepared that. Christ has prepared that for us. I'm bouncing now back up to verse 10. Even before love, He talked about joy. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. There's that fellowship again. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How do you explain joy? How do you explain love? How do you explain the color red to somebody that's never seen it? It's something that has to be experienced, right? It's something that's so deep inside of us, and it bubbles out, and there's evidences of it. But how do you really and truly express what true joy that you're experiencing inside of you? Well, I think he puts it right there with love. He dovetails it right together that if you have joy, you're going to love. If you love, you're going to have joy. If you give, you love. If you love, you have joy. If you give, you have joy. If you have joy, you have love. It all comes together. That's a place that Jesus has prepared for us. This world will not, cannot give us joy. Oh, it might give us happiness for the moment. But then something comes along and takes that away. But true joy that's in our hearts that is given by Jesus Christ Himself, I don't think the world can take that from us. There might be clouds that cover it over for a little while, but the sun's going to come out. And when the sun comes out, it's going to drive the clouds away. And that joy is still there. So He's prepared a place of joy. Number 6, a place of security. Chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. He's coming down to the very end of His discourse that night to His disciples. He says, "Behold, the hour cometh, and is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." Did that happen? Yes, it did. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Roman soldiers came, what did every one of the disciples, every one of them, they forsook Him and fled. They ran away. Jesus knew that. He said, "You're going to be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." And yet, I'm not alone. Every one of us, every blood-bought, spirit-born child of God can say that because we're joint heirs with Christ. And being a joint heir with Christ, we can be assured that because He was not alone, we are never alone. We sing that song, don't we? No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Jesus said, you're going to be scattered. You're going to run away. You'll leave me alone. But I'm not going to be alone because my Father's going to be with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. How can I have peace if that only pertains to Jesus? The peace that I get is because that which pertains to Him pertains to me as well. I am never alone. Do we feel lonely? Yes, we do. But aren't you thankful that the reality of life is not based on how we feel? Feelings are not the reality of life whatsoever. He's promised it, and it's sure, and it's steadfast, and we're secure in that. That's the place of security, that we're never, ever alone. In the world, you'll have tribulation. You'll have troubles. You'll have trials. And again, if Sarah's listening today, I don't mean to embarrass her, but 4 years old, 422 Howell Street, walk into her room one day and she said, "I feel so downtrodden." Do you ever feel downtrodden? I think we all do, don't we? We feel so downtrodden. Jesus said, "You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble." This world was never intended to be a place of smooth living and smooth sailing. To borrow an old country song, and I don't like to do this from the pulpit, but it just came to my mind. God never promised us a rose garden. He gives us roses along the path, but He never promised that we'd always live in that place of beauty and without turmoil. He said, "You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And in another place, Paul said, "Through Christ, we are more than overcomers." So we have security in Him. And then the last one, I'll go quickly with this, chapter 17. In the Christ's intercessory prayer, verses 9 through 11, Jesus is praying to the Father. And He says, "I pray for them." And initially, He was talking about His disciples, but then He also said, "and them that shall believe as a result of what they were preaching." So He's praying for us today as well. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, Compare that to John 3:16. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. We have the strength of Jesus Christ. We have the strength of our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, I hold them in my hand, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. And my Father, who's greater than me, He holds them in His hands, and no man shall pluck them out of His hands. This morning, I want to conclude by telling you emphatically, I am so thankful for every place that Jesus Christ has prepared for us. I'm thankful for heaven, but I'm thankful for those breaks that I get in going through this life. Aren't you? Aren't you thankful that there are places that He says, just stop and catch your breath? Praise the Lord for that.